Rabbi Alex Yalanga from Zambia. Welcome to The Harvest once again.
Well, so good to be here. Thank you for having me. And Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom. That's great. So, yeah, so it was kind of fun having Alex in again. I've known Rabbi Alex for, I think, almost 20 years now. And we connected quite a while ago. And
right.
So I've had the opportunity, really, to kind of get to know you over the years and a little bit about your family. Don, a few of our members, and along with 26-8 out in Idaho, took a trip out and stayed with you and your family for a while. So they got to know your wife a little bit better than I have. But yeah, it's been quite the journey of watching you in ministry over these years and what the Lord has done. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. He's a great God. I've learned you just show up. He does the rest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been very kind to us. He's been just amazing. He's the God.
You know, Rabbi, what I want to do is, you know, we have new people, of course, that, that, you know, join up with us in our live stream. And so for a number of our people, they don't know you. Others do. But your testimony is so powerful. It's just so amazing. I remember the first time I heard it, I was thinking, what? This is like, it's such an amazing testimony. And so what I want to do for those that are listening is have you kind of share some of the high points of that journey. I have some questions for you, and we'll just dialogue and we'll see how the time goes and what we're going to do here. And then I think what we'll do is depending on how much we get through this, we may pick this up in our podcast that we're doing, Get Scrolled. If you haven't got Get Scrolled, Get Scrolled. It's on our website. You can connect with us, but we'll do a follow-up podcast with Rabbi Alex and really dig in a little bit deeper into what the Lord's been doing in and through his ministry. So, Rabbi, tell us first, Zambia, where is Zambia located? And tell us a little bit about Zambia, and then we'll start with your early years before you came to faith, what life was like
right.
in Zambia.
Thank you, Pastor Mac. Zambia is one of those Z countries in Africa. I know a lot of people here keep asking, where do you find this place? It's actually in South Central Africa, and that's where I come from. And my early years in Zambia, they all go back to Genesis 12. I'll bless those who bless Israel, kiss those who kiss Israel. Zambia is one of the only two countries in the world that took in Jews during and before the Holocaust. Yeah, so almost everything in my country was built by Jewish people. The capital city, that is Lusaka, was actually established by Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Our economy was one of the best in Africa. Sadly, 1973, the Arab countries began to pressure some of the African countries to break ties with Israel. That was after the Yom Kippur Wars. Yeah, so Zambia sadly did that. It took over Jewish businesses, and many Jewish people left. 6 months later, our economy collapsed.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so that's how my story comes in.
Yeah, that's so true. That's like just the vindication of the truth of God's word that,
right.
you know, here's a nation that's really blessing Israel, and they're excelling, and they're prospering,
right.
and they turn their backs on Israel, and within 6 months, the economy collapses. And they still have not really recovered, because they've never really came back to a strong support of Israel. Is that correct?
Well, we're heading that direction, but we've learned that he's a God who watches over his word.
Yes.
When he says something, he means that.
Yes.
And we in Zambia went through all that.
Yes.
Our economy collapsed. My parents, who are both physicians, ended up losing their jobs. We ended up living in a mud hut. You may have seen it at the beginning of the video. That was my village. After we lost our house in Lusaka, and we ended up living 30 miles outside of the capital city, Lusaka.
Wow.
Yes.
So, and how old were you at that time?
Well, I was in my teens.
In your teens?
Yes, I was in a teenager.
And just living in just basically just poverty at that point, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, how many square feet was that hut that you were living
in? Oh man, you could spread your hands and touch all the corners.
Well, and how many were in living there?
Well, that was just me because I was the only son. So I had sisters who lived in another hut, which was a little bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, and my parents lived in another.
I see.
Yes. Wow. So, but talking of poverty, we experience the poverty that most people in the world, in Africa, go through, going for days without a meal. My father's pension was only like $12 a month, and we were more than 12 of us. Yeah, so we had to struggle to eat. Yeah, we had to grow almost all the food
And what was a typical meal at that point for you guys?
Yeah, so it's closer to something you guys would call grits.
Grits?
So okay. We call it Nshima. It comes from the cornmeal. Yeah, so we would have like once a day. That's
wow.
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're a teenager, of course. And you don't know the Lord.
No.
What are you thinking at that time? What's going on in your heart? Are you depressed? Are you angry? Are you hopeful? What's going on at that time in your life?
You know, it's a place where you face death every day, and you're trying to get a hold of anything, and you don't know what that is. Yeah. So there's this void in you. My parents were not very religious, but they still practiced a lot of the African pagan rituals and customs. So I tried trying to do all those things, but there was still this void until someone told me, why don't you read the Bible? You know, I couldn't afford a Bible, but I had two good feet. So I was like, okay, let me get to the library and check this out. Who knows what I may find? So I began to go to the library, which was in the city, 30 miles. I could only walk one way, spend a day or two. And man.
So you would walk to the library.
Right.
You would walk 30 miles
right.
on a serving of grits. Unbelievable. And you'd walk to that library just to have access to the Bible, right?
Right.
I mean. What kind of income did you have, you know, per month at that time? I mean, it sounds like your family had really nothing, right?
Well, like most people where I lived had nothing. My parents only had like $12 a month. It was barely enough to take care of anything. So our income for us, the children, only came in once a year. If we had a good harvest, so we'd sell some of the harvest.
Yeah.
And would go change socks and, you know, clothes and all that. Yeah, so, but anyways, I went to the library and began to read. And I read about this great God, this amazing God, who was so different to the gods of Africa. He was a creator God, you know, the owner of all life and existence, whose values were so different. I was just glued. I was like, well, you know what, I want to know more about this. It's like the more I read about him, the more I discovered who I was. And then the void in me was being filled. Yeah, so.
So when you would walk 30 miles.
Right.
And that would take quite a chunk of time to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And then was that you, when did you start that? Was that like on Friday? You'd leave on Friday?
Well, mostly I would leave there. After work.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe it could be a Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, help out a lot
at
home. And then,
take off.
Take
off.
Take anywhere from 10 to 14 hours walking,
depending
on the weather. Yeah, it's pretty hot, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you would get there and you would stay, what, 2 or 3 days?
I would stay 2 days at the most because I was needed back again.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So,
did you do that weekly or monthly?
I did it almost weekly.
Almost weekly.
I had this hunger, this thirst. It's like, man, I'm living, but I don't want to live. You know, I just want to be glued to the to the word of the Lord.
That is, yeah, that is so amazing. You know, we read the Psalms and it talks about the deer that panteth after the water brook, you know, and yeah, and we pray because we're so affluent here in the United States. We don't know what that's like, right? But we pray, you know, God, touch our hearts, cause us to be like deer that pants after the water brook. Right. Give us a hunger for your word, you know, to where we would sacrifice to have time with that.
Right.
You know, we have everything competing with us over here, social media, entertainment, football, everything, you know. So it's easy to be distracted over here. The distraction is the cares of life. We have so much. And yet to get to this place where we need to be, where we're hungering for the word of God, that we have a thirst and a hunger for the things of God is really what we need. And that is in some ways the upside of poverty. You know, the downside is it's tragic in every sense, pain, the misery. But at the same time, it creates this hunger for God. Hear my cry. I'm desperate, you know, do something.
Right.
So there you were studying the Bible. And so as you were studying, you kind of discovered that he had a people group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Israel kept on coming up. It's like, wow. You know, he's a God who mentioned something and you see it in the real world. He's a God who would prophesy of something in the distant future and it comes to be. And it was like, wow, who is this God? And he was very clear, still clear, that Israel is his people, his nation. And every nation out there, we're talking of 200 nations out there, will receive the blessings from this mighty God through Israel.
Yes.
Through you, I'll bless all the nations.
Yes.
And I began to reach out to the Jewish community in my country. And they received me. They actually wanted me to be to take care of the synagogue, which was in Lusaka. Wonderful people.
Yes.
And so I was briefly at home. And it's so fulfilling when you read something as an outsider and then you experience that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. To know that, wow. This Shabbat, this Rosh Hashanah, all these wonderful festivals that the rest of the world, they have missed.
Yes.
Yeah. And these bring us into the presence of the Almighty.
Yes.
Yes. So I was there, but I kept on searching, and because they would say, well, Jesus is not the Messiah and all that. And I was like, okay, you know, let me prove that, because... Yeah. If someone out there is going to ask me, I have to answer using scripture. So yes. I went into a lot of rabbinic writings. And man, it's like the more you try to disprove that Yeshua, Jesus, is not the Messiah, the more he actually comes out as the Messiah.
Yes.
You know, the one who was rejected by the entire nation of Israel, he died before. The second temple was destroyed, and he is a man who did so many miracles, almost, I would say, on an industrial scale, you know, bringing people from the dead, you know. It is him. It is him. Yeah, so I decided that, you know what, this is my Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
So it's interesting. So you're reading, of course, right?
Right. Right.
And we come to the apostolic scriptures. And so you're reading about these Jews who are believing in Jesus as the Messiah. You're thinking, okay, Jews that believe in Jesus, like, I don't know any Jews who believe in Jesus.
Right.
Because really, a majority of Jews don't believe that he's the Messiah.
No.
And so tell us the story about how you're thinking, there's got to be some Jews today who believe in Jesus, but like, where are they? Because I don't know of any. So what happened? How did
You know, this is why my journey took like 7 years of walking back and forth. So, and I knew, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, was the Messiah, and I could not deny him. So I couldn't find my place among the Jewish community. I still have relatives there, good friends in the local Jewish community of Zambia. Yeah, but I read Romans 11, verse, I believe, 5. Yeah, there still is a remnant of believers.
Yes.
Yeah, in Yeshua. So I was like, there must be Jewish believers out there who keep Shabbat, who worship the great God of Israel, who have not, you know, turned back on the worship of Israel.
Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't know where to find them.
They're not in Zambia.
Well.
I mean, at that time, right? You're looking, where are they, right?
right. So I was everywhere. I read different books. Most of the books I read, they would say they existed until the 4th century, but they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I was also looking for non-Jewish people who loved Israel. Yeah. You know, these are precious people.
Yes.
Yeah, so I tried to find churches that are the place for Israel. I got kicked out of some of the churches because they taught that they were the new Israel.
Right.
And I will sometimes confront the pastor to say, but Scripture tells me that as long as the sun and the moon, you know, still exist, Israel is still God's people.
Yes.
Well, I got kicked out, so, yeah. But anyway, I would go back
to the club, right?
So I would come back to the Scripture, and it would tell me there still is a remnant.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be part of this prophetic group.
Yeah.
So I began to look around. Yeah. Cut a long story short, I was back at the library. That was almost like 7 years later. I was like, Lord, I'm getting tired. You know, when will I find your people?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be part of this worship. And someone left a large green book on the table where I was seated. Mm-hmm. And it was an encyclopedia and it of different religions in the United States. I was like, wow, there are many Jewish people there. So let me check this out. I was so excited. I went to the Jewish section of the encyclopedia. There was nothing. Yeah, I went to the Christian section. I stumbled upon Jews for Jesus. Oh, yeah, I almost fell off my chair. I was like, wow, there still are Jews who believe in the Messiah. So I wrote to them. They were in San Francisco. I believe they're still there. To say, listen, I've been reading the Bible. It's drawing me towards the olive tree to be joined to Jews and of course Gentiles as well who believe in Yeshua. Yeah, so they responded, we don't have any presence in your part of the world, but we are more than happy to send you a newsletter.
Wow.
And if you can only send $6, yeah, if I lived in like in America or Canada, they would have sent it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me to receive our store, you have to pay for the postage.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was $6. Took me 3 months to raise that.
Wow.
Yeah, so wow. I sent
Think about that. Think about that. You know, yeah, wow. So you raised the money.
Raised the money and sent it to San Francisco. And I received my second newsletter, which was in which was in February 1997. Jews for Jesus newsletter. I was so excited. I was going through, that was like a visible evidence for me that there are actually Jewish people who believe in Yeshua, keep the worship of Israel. And I came across this article of a Jewish woman who was having fellowship with other Jewish believers using the internet. And I was like, what is the internet? You know, how does it look like? Well, how big is it?
Yeah.
So I went out to look for it, asking everyone. Of course, most people didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Eventually, I found it at the University of Zambia, which had over 5,000 students at that time, and they only had like 5 computers. I was not even a student. So I went to the guy in charge. I was like, listen, man, I'm doing this research. And I think I have evidence that there still are people who worship the Lord the way he was worshipped in the first century. And he was like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I will allow you, but you have to pay 50 cents. I had to go back again. You know, I come from a country where entire households live on less than a dollar a day.
Wow.
Yeah, so 50 cents was way beyond what I could afford. So I had to go work hard. The scripture says, buy the truth, don't sell it. Yes. You know, I went, raised the funds, and found someone who knew how to use a computer, and that's how I found the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America.
Right.
Yes.
MJAA.
Yes. I contacted them, and the Lord was so gracious. Rabbi Judah Hangerman at that time was the president, and he reached back to me and said, we don't usually do this, but we really feel we should step in.
Yes.
Yeah, and they began to mentor me and invited me to come to your great country.
Yes.
Yeah, that was in 2000.
Wow.
Yeah, so I came, my jaw just dropped to the ground. I just, the blessings that I saw around me, I was like, wow, this is amazing. But,
Rabbi Alex, I really think, and I think a lot of people share this perspective, our forefathers, many, many of them, not all of them, but many of our forefathers and those who founded this country had such a profound love for Jesus, Yeshua,
amen.
And for his word and for the Jewish people.
Amen.
And it's just amazing when you think about it. I really believe, a lot of people really believe, that the reason America is so blessed, so prosperous, so influential is God has blessed us because we have blessed his son. We have blessed his people. And it's just been, I think that's the backdrop of our blessings. And and just even, you know, with the recent election of President Trump, probably the most pro-Jewish president, pro-Israel president that we've had since 1948. And he's back in. And when he was in the first time, we had reached some really heights of our prosperity in our economy under that first presidency or his first time in office. Mm-hmm. And then of course it's been really, really hard the last 4 years.
Right.
But that administration has not been nearly as pro-Israel as the previous one. And now he's back in. And I really suspect that God's going to begin to bless us once again as a nation, as we uphold and you do our part to bless Israel. And so I think that's a lot of why we're so blessed is.
Oh yeah. Yeah. As an outsider, I also see that your country was built on the Judeo-Christian values.
Yes.
And these are the values that have made you guys to be the leading superpower in the country or family of nations.
Yes.
And this country has a lot of people who love the Jewish people.
Yes.
You know, and the Almighty, the great God of Israel, is faithful.
Yes.
He made it clear, I bless those who bless my people.
Yes.
And we see it. We see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, your country may not be perfect, but it is blessed.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we were really excited about you specifically because you're one of a very few in Zambia who not only love the Lord, love, you know, Yeshua the Messiah and his people, but you're invested in sharing that message and reaching out to those all around you that have really nothing. And we've seen the Lord prosper you and your family as a result of that.
Right.
You have done a tremendous work in birthing a number of messianic congregations for both Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And you have an exciting outreach to the homeless and these kids. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the orphanage and what you do in terms of reaching these kids daily. You've been doing this for so long.
Right. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Mark. I think the best gift you can give to another human being is the gospel.
Yes.
You know, it's to give them Yeshua. Then you have given them everything. You've given them hope. You've given them the future. You've given them the present. And we are passionate in trying to do that. And as you have said, the Lord has also been kind to us.
Yes.
Over the years, we've also been reaching out to the orphans. Africa has over 52 million orphans.
Yeah.
And as a tiny Messianic Jewish ministry, we were like, well, scripture tells us, you know, we have to reach out to the orphans. So we were like, okay, let's help maybe 10, 15.
Yes.
Wow, we had over 400 show up.
Wow.
And it's like, what do? We don't have the resources and all that. So over the years, we've been learning, but the Lord has blessed our work. We are taking care of 380 orphans as I speak right now, from first grade to 12th grade.
So you you provide education for them.
Right. Right.
You provide food for them.
Yes, we do.
Clothing. Yes.
Yeah. Medical care.
Right.
Yeah. And above all, we teach them about the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. We teach them about the Lord. And the most hopeless, we provide housing as well. Right. Yes. Yeah. Wow. So, and the Lord has.
I've seen videos.
Right.
From Zambia, and those kids are so full of life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They're like one huge family, you know. And,
right.
And you can imagine what that's like being on the streets.
Right.
How
right.
desperate that is, how terrifying that is, right? And you have this safe refuge in mm-hmm. in your ministry.
Right.
And
right.
I see those kids and they come to life. And you're right. The gospel is the essential thing. It brings mm-hmm. hope. Mm-hmm. If you have hope, you can endure anything.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
go through anything,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
I mean, I hear your stories. I'm thinking, you know, what an amazing testimony for anybody that's going through anything that's very difficult, very, you know, frightening or whatever, to know that God will bring you through. He
Amen.
Loves all of us.
Amen.
He will do for you what he's done for Rabbi Alex, mm-hmm. what he's done for us. That's our testimony.
Yes.
And in
yes.
addition to that, you provide all these other things for these kids that are growing up. And I just think, wow, these will be the change makers for
Amen.
Zambia.
Amen.
You know, they're going to be agents of change mm-hmm. in life mm-hmm. for Zambia. It's just, it's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen like some of the kids that came to us in second grade, you know, this one kid used to walk like 2 hours one way just to come to come for school
wow.
and food and hear about the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I speak right now, he's now a pilot. You know, he went through school.
Wow.
Went to be trained as a pilot. And we are now having others graduating
yes.
as electricians, plumbers, nurses.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are super excited, you
yes.
know.
And many of these kids don't have that opportunity
no,
to go
no,
all the way through 12th
no.
grade and then get higher education.
No, they don't. Most
of them, they're out by, I think, 7th grade or whatever, if they're not testing in.
In the beginning, they would be out by 3rd grade.
Out by 3rd
Yeah, okay. So we could only take them until 3rd grade. But we were like, this is a wasted investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll go back to the bad stuff again.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we were like, okay, let's move to 4th grade.
Yes.
Oh, let's push to 5th grade, and we're now 12th grade, so
yeah.
we can keep them as long as we are able to. And our school, the Jerome Fleischer School for Orphans, it's one of the best in my city, Lusaka. When it comes to academics, we are among the top five.
Top five.
Yes, and sports, we are the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are kids without a father, without a mother.
Yes.
You know, from very heartbreaking backgrounds.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're God's kids.
Yeah, that's right. And his blessing is on them. That's why
right.
they're excelling.
Right.
It's
right.
the blessing of God. It's the hope
right.
of the nations.
Right.
And you're seeing that taking uh-huh. place in Zambia. Tell me again your website so people can go directly to your website and find
right.
out all this information about what's going on.
Yeah,
I printed out a bunch of material, but
right.
thanks to the snowstorm, we're
right.
online today. But
well,
yeah. So
well,
the website is at
zamf.org. Correct. Right.
And you can go there. You can get all the information is there that you would need. Many of our people have already invested.
Oh yeah.
In this ministry, we have been supporting this ministry for years, and we're going to continue to do that. But it is a ministry that has integrity and loyalty, and perseverance, and is making a big difference in so many people's lives. Tell us a little bit about your wife. She is doing so much, and she is a real worker for the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And so many people depend on her for so many things.
Right,
but
right.
Tell us a little bit about your wife and your family.
Thank you very much. My wife, some of you have met her. Her name is Faye. She's such a blessing. She is almost everywhere. Yeah, so when we got married, Faye decided to give up a corporate job to just be full-time with me in this tiny ministry that didn't have the numbers, didn't have the resources. And I was like, Faye, you can't do this, you know. And she was like, no, I believe the Lord is in all this. Yeah, so that really blessed my heart.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's the one taking care of all the kids. Almost 400 kids. She's part of our worship team. She's part of our leadership team. And of course, she's a mother to our 5 beautiful girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And she takes care of you, right?
Takes care of me, too.
But yeah, that is a huge step of faith, right? To pull back from her secular job and to join you in a ministry that at that time really could not support both of you.
No.
And yet that act of faith, of just stepping out in faith to do what God had called her to do,
right.
Not just you, but her as well, is really what kind of has resulted in this ministry being raised up.
Amen.
And God has really blown on that and blessed that and prospered that. And again, I just look at the end of the video and what is happening there.
Right,
it's just really a
Well, it's just amazing. Yeah, something that was not even shown in the video. We've seen Muslims come to faith.
Yes.
And our ministry, I think I showed a video some time back where an entire mosque just gave their life to Yeshua. You know, imams, these are priests.
Yes.
2 imams gave their lives to Yeshua. And we've seen kings and queens, like the Queen of the Gora with 30,000 of our people, give their life to the great God of Israel.
Wow.
Did away with all the ancestral gods, their rituals, and they're now serving the true God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the King of the Kaonde, who has over 200,000 people, he gave his life to the Lord, went to Israel, and just standing for the truth. Yeah, so just show up.
And you've been a real bridge builder, right? Between believers and Israel, between believers and the Jewish people in Zambia.
Right, right.
Been that kind of that middle person there, connected to both communities.
Right,
and so, and that's no easy thing, right? And then you throw in the Muslim mix with that.
Right.
Really challenging.
Right.
Because you've got a lot of pushback from different groups for your faith, not only in Yeshua, but in the Torah as a way of life, in the biblical principles that we walk in.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of pushback from a lot of people on that,
Oh, yeah.
And so, with the Muslim community, I know that there's been some pushback there, and probably with other groups. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, have you had churches that you established burnt down?
Actually, it's not been from the Muslim community.
Right.
We have seen actually more Muslims come to faith.
Right.
The people where we've had a pushback are the tribal people.
Okay.
Yeah, who have driven some of our people out of their villages, taken over our congregations. Yeah, and I remember in my early years when I came to faith, I got kicked out of my village. Yeah. And so
real persecution.
Yes.
I mean, that is the cost associated with identifying and committing yourself to Yeshua is huge.
Oh, it is. But it's worthwhile.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you have the God of the universe on your side.
Yes.
And with him, you're in the majority. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, great. I think what we're going to do is pick up some of this as we do our podcast and get into some of the church planting that you've been doing and what that looks like, and talk more about the Muslims. It's amazing when you think about Islam. It recognizes and embraces Abraham as the father of their faith, right?
Right.
Just like Jewish people do, just like Christians do. And so there is some connection already there before you even share the gospel,
right?
Which predisposes them to listen. You know, we all have the same father, Father Abraham. So we have this tremendous connection there. And so you've done some amazing things among the Muslims that we can certainly learn from as well, as we have a growing presence of Muslim people here in the United States, of course. So we have our work cut out, everyone does, to share the glory and the wonder of Yeshua the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
So, Rabbi Alex, thank you so much for having spent this time with us.
Well,
you are loved here. We love you tremendously, you and your family. Faye, we love you. Hold down the fort until Rabbi Alex gets back. But thank you so much for all that you and your family do, the sacrifices that you have made to bring the gospel to so many kids and give hope to so many that have no hope. So thank you so much. Again, the website is
zamf.org. Right.
Thank you so much. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.